it's the, we turn our heads, it's for God.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry?
We turn our heads,
it's the real Lopa.
Something interests us, we turn, pay attention, hear, but it's all Lopa.
Is it always
Lopa?
It's always Lopa.
Always Lopa, if I turn my head.
But she said before that, before you turn your head.
And before, because Lopa attaches to a visible object, to sound, before we can even think about what it is.
But sometimes there's safety involved, isn't there? If you're crossing the road, I'll turn my head.
Still Lopa.
Still Lopa, attachment to staying self, alive.
Yeah, yeah. Attachment to life, that's what keeps the cycle.
Okay.
It's attachment to the sound.
There can be something awareness.
Yeah.
It depends on conditions.
Yes.
And I think an enlightened person will move back from a Russian car.
I think so.
I still have sort of big doubt of awareness of Tinamita, sleepy, see, you know, also it can arise. But I just can't imagine how, when you're so sleepy, you know, you can't.
Like at the doorway.
Sorry?
Like at the doorway.
Yeah, I know.
Otherwise, it's not samasati.
Yes,
it's different.
Must be very difficult.
Because of intention to know.
So
it's not natural because it's not samasati which can arise.
That's
a problem. Yeah, intention to know.
That's right.
Makes it even harder to know.
It's more gone before you can do anything.
And you think wrongly that you're supposed to know something that's not there.
Or as soon as there is the term Tibetita or anything, would like to experience.
I tell you, said before lunch that so often the question, how can I do, is expressing wrong view, but it seems like. No, because it is not. But that question, how can I do, is so common, and it's like behind so many of the questions is that question. How to do? How can I do?
Because a person thinks that one can do.
Yes. So it's like it's it sits there.
There's no doubt about doing, no question how anyone.
Yes.
That's right, understanding, there's no question about that.
So, there's no doubt that how disappears. No doubt about reality. Yes.
Then, if we investigate, what would we like to do?
Probably everything.
Except I can understand you.
Right. Exactly.
Anything but.
Everything except right understand.
Be impatient enough to give up. Just how to do.
It's like on the one side it's everything else,
yes,
and this side is right understanding. If there's right understanding, it knows the present moment. Everything else takes you away. Future, past.
But an expression the other day that I connected with called pay attention more to knowing first than naming. More knowing than naming. Just clicked with me, resonated with me for some.
It's like reminder. It's not like an order.
Yeah, I take it that way. In terms of reaching or moving towards a right understanding of awareness, there is a balance between the theory, the reading, and the practice of being present. Does this make sense?
What do you mean by practice?
Moving the nimittas closer to
understanding closer.
Yeah.
Usually when harness would get about right understanding. Anything is very interesting, like sati is very interesting.
Yeah.
But when mentioned pandemic.
That's interesting because I think about Banya more than Sati. Why?
Most other places, especially those who talk about sitting, meditating, they have no idea about the Buddha's teachings being about the development of Banya.
Mm-hmm.
They think that that is the end result of having sat and having Sati of objects. You know, so what they go out is to have more sati.
But you can't have the banya growing.
Yes, that's mm-hmm. what we know. Right? Mm-hmm. But most people don't know. They have that visual idea of Dhamma practice being aware of what is happening. Whereas here we know that it's about understanding, which starts with intellectual understanding.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no question of trying to have more awareness, but to just develop understanding at the level that we're able to. So when the focus is on understanding, then we see the value of intellectual understanding. And that the practice can't happen without the intellectual understanding.
We talked about this a bit on the trip, the difference between intellectual or theoretical understanding and the banya that knows the moment. And that often when we talk about intellectual understanding, I've thought about it in the conventional sense. But John's explaining, and maybe talk about this again, how what we're really looking, what you're really referring to is the banya that understands.
Now, I think that there is seeing and visible object all the time,
mm-hmm.
and there's thinking about anything, and there's also sound. Is it wrong if there is awareness of understanding visible object right now?
No, awareness of understanding.
Yeah. Is it wrong or not wrong? Because there's so many things like sound and hearing and thinking and feeling,
mm-hmm.
but it's the moment of understanding visible object. Is it wrong? Not wrong at all.
No.
But you see, if there is intention to know, it's wrong.
Right.
Even the object is the same, visible object. But when there is the idea that I would try
mm-hmm.
to know,
mm-hmm.
and that person thinks that it's awareness, it's not.
Right.
It's only the self who's trying.
Right.
But when there is the moment of understanding developed, even there's hearing or thinking.
Mm-hmm.
But at that moment, Panya begins to understand this word object. As long as Panya arises and understands, it's not wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But when it's intention just to have sati,
mm-hmm.
to be aware mm-hmm. of this word object,
mm-hmm.
that's wrong.
Yeah.
And it is not awareness at all.
Right.
One mistakes something for the term
yes.
awareness, but actually
yes.
it's not. Because when it's the samasati, it's conditioned. And Panya detached, is detached from taking, therefore I.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It's only conditioned reality.
Mm-hmm.
and it's so natural. No doubt about whether it is a right place or not, like Tina Ita or anything. Mm-hmm. It's natural because you cannot expect it to be aware of Tina Ita, or you cannot expect it not to be aware of Tina. So you understand it as yourself. So it depends on understanding, no matter if it's now understanding, developing the understanding of this whole object by itself, or any reality by itself, by the wishes.
What about understanding the conditions thinking about the way we're talking about it now?
Thinking is real.
Yes.
It's like being aware of understanding seeing. Exactly the same.
It's like
seeing, hearing. That which thinks, that which sees. The experience. What she can find in the body.
So Vanya can understand thinking.
As well. It's that time. It's conditioned to think about that particular object. You didn't choose at all to have this or that object.
Right. So it's awareness of a jitta that thinks.
To understand. At moment when it's
To understand a jitta.
At moment of understanding there is a thing which is aware.
Yes.
You don't have to think whether it arises or not. At that moment, there's no understanding, just thinking about whether it's a thing or not a thing, whether it arises or not. But at moment of understanding, many jetasikas arise with that jitta, with sati too. This is the way to become detached from taking it for I or trying to have it. By seeing, is there any detachment from seeing? See, when it's vanya, it performs its function of detachment. So one knows all the time how much vanya is there or how less is there.
Is it vanya that knows there's no detachment from seeing? Is it vanya that knows there's no detachment from seeing?
Because you see that when vanya understands, it cannot attached.
Right.
At all.
But what about when you know that there is no detachment, when one knows?
Because you mean when it knows attachment?
Yes, when it knows attachment.
Yeah. It's a different moment.
Yes.
Or when there is more understanding, no attachment, because it does a thing, it let go, and awareness can be aware and understand the next. Follow the next object with no attachment. Because when there is attachment, there is attachment to this object, and after that there is attachment to next object all the time. But when Panya is there, it understands, so there is no attachment to this or that object.
It seems that it's easier to know that there is attachment and dosa and avijja than it is
as my dosa, my avijja, who else?
No,
it doesn't belong to the other.
No.
It is not an element of this dhamma, see. Because one knows that this is hard. Like one knows the characteristic of anger or attachment. But they belong to me.
Are attachment and dosa, though, are jetasikas, is that right? And we can be, sati can be aware of jetasikas.
When it arises?
Yes.
Just when it arises.
As a reality.
As a reality, not just...
I have anger.
Yeah.
Which is how we usually express it, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
As if it belongs to me.
Mm-hmm.
Mine. Mm-hmm. Yours, or
just expressions, perception, that it's happening to us.
Like there is understanding now that what people think in this room. I mean that's and yet I know they're understanding that the perception of people and things in this room now is thinking in concept.
And so we have to also understand.
Yes.
But not understanding about samyaji vasika. No time to be aware and to understand, see? So samya is me. That's why before one can become enlightened or penetrate the characteristic of learning which arises in our soul. It's not just thinking, but it learns to understand realities as not self with more and more detachment until it appears as detachment from any object. Pass from one moment to the other moment. But as well as it's not translated back yet, it means that there is clinging, attachment to each one, because awareness does not follow the next one. So it has to be there.
Is this an example of clinging being, I mean, dukkha being a hindrance?
Especially when it appears as I would like to have somewhere to attain quickly. Not knowing about the amount of ignorance, no understanding about great amount of attachment, just want to experience it. Impossible.
So this detachment that accumulates as a result of having known more and more dhammas. Just that if there's awareness now and then loka arises, that is also known and so
until the ideas are all gone completely. Not just how.
How is attachment?
So, just going back to attachment and loka and dosa, how when we talk about it, we are really talking about my dosa and my loka. And yet, often we do that because something has conditioned that thinking.
Aptasangya. Memories.
Yes, but and that has been conditioned by. So there's. I suppose what I'm asking is there somewhere in the process for there to be thinking about and taking for self. That there has been some very brief experience of dosa and loka, and then there's thinking about it, there's taking for self, but somewhere in there is a brief.
From there, I can understand precisely what moment is at this level, what moment is attachment, what moment is not attachment.
But Banya also is very brief, so it can be
when it develops,
it
knows more. I suppose I'm thinking at the beginning, it can seem as if the other things are more pervasive and more active.
For example, when one is hearing Dhamma, there is understanding. And when there's no hearing Dharma anymore, there's no understanding.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any attachment to hearing? Or, all right, it's just that. See, different attitude. Mm-hmm. If you cling to, oh, I hear just a little, I'd like to hear more, how, and when mm-hmm. I will listen again, that is clinging, unknowing, clinging. It shows that there is no understanding deeply about the meaning of anatta. No control, uncontrollable.
So in other words, it's there is understanding, but it's not like we need to know that there is understanding. There is definite of understanding going on. For example, like now. But there may not be moments of awareness of the understanding itself.
Which indicates that even understanding while I'm listening is not sound. Otherwise, I am listening, I'm getting better understanding or something like that.
In your teaching over the years, you stressed exactly what you said then about the problem of self as being a major obstacle to you having right view and right practice, right studies. The development of other aspects, let's say the sila and dana and so forth. Is it correct to interpret it that they are not as important to development of Panya as they don't present as big an obstacle to development of Panya as the notion of self?
When there is the understanding of realities as the self, that's why I'm concerned about Siddha and Dana. Because they are conditions and they are not self, they do not belong to anyone at all. And then one can have better and higher Siddha. At moment of understanding.
So there is a kind of an order or priority here.
There might be in previous lives, long ago, or just a moment before, but as there is understanding firmly about anatta, there can be detachment from how about whether I have
or not, or by not email or something like that. Mm. Nothing to do. So, on the bus and one of the Santana we were listening to, I was aware of it stressing to somebody this question, maybe it was from Narong, about it's not so important for us to be able to identify Kusala Chitta from Akusala Chitta. It's more important to try and understand, for it separate Nama from Rupa, that Panya, or being aware of Rupa as Rupa and Nama as Nama, is a more important development than simply awareness of Kusala or Akusala.
It depends on how important one knows about right understanding. Otherwise one thinks the other things are more important, like Dharma and Siva. But actually, Dana without understanding and Sila without understanding is not what Buddha taught, because so ordinary that anyone can speak about.
Mm-hmm.
And it shows clinging, less so more, because not enough understanding.
So clinging to Dana, clinging to Sila, my Sila, my Dana.
But as one can let go or sacrifice or whatever it is, renounce, the idea of self, you can see that can that be conditioned for more wisdom because of the renouncing of the idea of self?
Yeah.
there's a concern about
yes.
it.
Yes, yeah, the self is the biggest obstacle.
Yes. And I've seen most Buddhists, most people, everyone, they're just so concerned about having more metta, having more sila, having more, doing more dharma. It says, and it's almost like they're not interested in knowing reality,
mm-hmm.
knowing the truth. They're just so concerned about doing more good.
But that's understandable.
Mm-hmm. Well, it is, because the attachment to self is so strong. How when we say not to be attached, it is the strongest.
Well, that's one thing. The other thing is that they may see the value of kusala, but not of pangya.
Yes.
Yeah, but the thing is, the thing is, it took a Buddha
to know that.
Mm-hmm. And people are not hearing the Buddha's words, so naturally they're going to go to the thing that they think is the highest. They don't even understand the concept of no self. They would never have had this understanding unless they've heard the Buddha's teaching. So for them, sila, giving, is
sila highest. And meditation practices have always been taught in other
Christianity,
without
the Buddha.
So that's why they are so common.
I think meditation practice is totally different. That's up kusala.
Yes,
Dana is kusala. Dana is kusala and other things. And I appreciate that a lot of people turn towards Dhamma because they value kusala and see the danger of kusala. But still, very few see the danger of moha.
Well, again, I think it's very understandable because, you know, it does take a Buddha to see these things, and Hinle didn't teach. So it must be very difficult to penetrate that and for people to even start to have some understanding of it.
But I come back, it's just 2,500 years. Why so few? Appreciate
it. Because it's so deep, it's so difficult to see. I mean, how long have we been looking at Dhamma and trying to grasp its point?
In this world, but in other worlds.
Mm-hmm. And again, that's just so counting and measuring.
Well, it seems that few people come in touch with the Dhamma, come in contact.
Well, now, given the internet, I think almost everyone knows about Dhamma.
Yeah, but not the right understanding of Dhamma. That's the trouble.
No, they
don't. And even if they do, they're not. There's accumulations to see it in the right way. People just don't grasp it. They don't. They think there is a self that has to practice to rid themselves of a self.
And we know that even people who are sitting during the Buddha's time, the highest jhanas, their defilements are still there, right? And without the Dhamma, if they're born in another life, just back to normal.
Well, also in the Buddha's time, there were a lot of other teachers that were considered very great, and so not everybody was following the Buddha. Even in the Buddha's time, when they heard the Buddha's words, they were not following him. They were following other teachings. So now, 2,500 years on, why wouldn't there be people not listening to the Buddha?
But I still can't grasp this concept about like people during the Buddha's time working high jhanas, they developed very high level of panya of that kind which knows the difference between kusala and akusala. Why is it that this panya is not accumulated, that they, in a different lifetime, all the kilesas can then come back, or because the kilesas have not been eradicated. But doesn't that Panya somehow take a bit?
For those who have, would come to see Buddha.
So, but that is a Dhamma, that is the, this Vipassana Panya, those who have heard the Dhamma in previous lives. But what about those, like the Christians, say, who know, who value compassion and loving kindness?
But God.
Mm-hmm. That's what wrong with you. But still they value compassion. Now
and God created us in the image of God. A very strong idea of a self in Christianity going to heaven.
Yes, I know. But it's not just the God. They do see the value in helping others.
No, but a lot of people see value in that. They might not do it, but they see value in it.
And a lot of people do it.
Yeah, a lot of people do it. But, you know, I mean, if you're going to look at life, and if you don't have a teaching about no self, then you tend to see that goodness is goodness. At least most people do.
No, the thing is that I hear on the one hand that the panya that we are now developing is accumulated and never lost. So thinking about the panya
of the... It depends on what level of panya and how much panya is. For example, just listen that Buddha is the enlightened one. Is that enough?
No.
See?
Is it a pati-pati level that is not lost? Or is it can be...
It's accumulated. Mm. Like other realities. But it needs development too.
We've seen that the pati-pati level wouldn't be lost, but probably
but
at an earlier
really
level,
slowly.
Even conceptual level, it could be to some degree.
No, if it's panya, if it's a moment of panya, it is accumulated.
Right.
No matter how
conceptual panya you're talking about.
If it's panya, are we talking about a chetasika?
No, well, if it's panya, are you talking about pati-pati or are you talking about?
I'm talking about any level, pariyati, pati-pati, if it's Pariyati, it's still that Chetasika, Panya Chetasika, which arises. So I assume that is accumulated, right? That is accumulated.
Everything.
And that's when the people who had the Panya to attain jhanas, isn't that accumulated as well?
Mm-hmm. So you don't know that when time comes, there can be condition for a level of concentration or something.
Okay. So in those people, even if they've not heard the Buddha, they can develop samatha, even in other lives, that accumulation is not lost. So when they hear about compassion, they hear about metta, it sort of clicks.
There are conditions for each moment, from years and years, kusala and akusala, or samatha avadana. And we pass the mat toward them even just a little bit. But which is more the condition this moment. It's impossible. Just arrives, just happen without any conditions.
I don't think compassion and metta are a concept that's difficult to grasp. I mean, even crooks tend to have some degree of concern about people who are close to them or something. I mean, it's pretty common that most people would think that they're valuable.
Dhamma is very deep. To, for example, even the word metta, do we really understand it thoroughly? The nature of it, the characteristic of it, is a reality.
I think we can appreciate it, Ajahn, but we probably don't have it too often.
Not as a reality or something.
No, well, as a reality. I mean, we can appreciate when there is true caring for someone or there's true friendliness.
It's so very good. But what about seeing someone or this person or that person here and then? See, is there a condition from that enough to arise? No.
Mm-hmm. A lot of times, not. Yeah. No. I've noticed that when sometimes I can't smile at people. You know, I just don't feel like smiling at them, and I mean, just a friendly smile towards someone.
You notice the times when you don't have it. I notice it when I have it, and that's because it's very rare.
Stands out.
Yeah.
And without understanding something, if I can have met that was trees and flowers.
I find sympathetic joy actually easier to have than other.
To rise in the plant.
if people gain something, I feel quite happy for them. You know, I mean, I see it as karma. I see that it's the fruition of karma, but I can feel quite happy for them, even if I'm not that keen on the person. Because they,
even just one name like Paxing.
Well, sometimes it's not.
Other name is all right.
No, even with him, you can have sympathetic.
Think deeply about the feeling right there. Mm. See, it's not you, but it's Dhamma. Mm. So one can understand Dhamma clearly, but it's not you, but the feeling or reality at that moment. See, one has to be very sincere.
But with a person like But with a person like Thaksin, you can both have compassion for him because you know that he's done some silly things that are going to come back to him. At the same time, you can see his gain. You know, you can appreciate that he must have done good to gain.
If you don't think at all, just the word.
Name. It's just at that moment, that's without thinking.
What's your
about
first reaction?
George Bush for me.
Yes, exactly. George Bush, the other one.
George Bush doesn't know what he's doing, so there's that one you can feel compassion for.
So definitely not, you have no control over that response. Even if you prepare yourself and think about it.
Having had that response, recognized it for what it is, thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Next time it happens, could be less because you've recognized it then.
Unconditions.
Mm-hmm.
No expectations.
But no expectations, no. But
at the moment of talking about his deeds, what did that say?
In the meantime, today there's awareness. In the meantime, if you gather more information and have more aversive reactions,
these are extreme. But I was thinking there's the awareness of my own bodily sensations to things that are more general and more commonplace in my workplace and so on, where many years ago, I think, you know, my awareness of the bodily sensation that arose and then acting on impulse was a lot more frequent. And that perhaps with some understanding and awareness over time, I am aware of the nimitta that arises afterwards.
It's whether you take it yourself or just...
No, not myself. Yeah, okay.
It may be just a conditioned response. And if it's not a lesson in Dhamma, if you don't understand reality, then you can make a big thing out of it.
Yeah, sure. But in the first place, though, the awareness of the bodily sensation for me is still a good clue.
It's just a way of thinking. It's a diversion.
Mm. when my jaw, when jaw clenches, which is a result of some, say, visual object that's arisen, and then I cut out, I start thinking, which causes jaw to clench, I know I'm in a bad cycle.
Yeah, you can develop a habit of reacting differently to a situation,
yes.
But it's still thinking.
Yes.
There's no understanding of nama and rupa.
Understood.
So it's just a condition, you're conditioning yourself to respond differently. And so it's just that.
Yeah.
It's maybe it works for a long time. But you know, we know.
Still
it's a practice. It's like a sort of a practice.
Playing music
without
swimming.
Really calling it a practice, but yeah. What you were saying earlier about habit, maybe you know, you try to develop different things to
cope with the
let's not mistake
the thing is that as long as there's no satipatthana and no panyata at the moment, you might think that you're not able to cope up with dosa, but then not notice that the loka that arises immediately.
Right. Which leads me to when you were talking before about that you can have vanya of thinking, that thinking can be real.
It is real.
And that's
but my capacity to delude myself about that is profound, I think.
As is all of us.
I'm sorry, your capacity to
delude myself as to when that thinking is real and when it's delusionary. Yeah, concept.
Well, that's not an issue. The thinking is real, but the object of thinking is
concept.
Formations of concepts and not.
But the tendency is to merge the two, isn't
that's
it?
That's right.
The tendency is to get caught up in the concept.
Mm.
Not see the reality of thinking.
So sati can know.
So how do you get? That's the understanding that has to come is to know what the difference is.
Well, that's only one can't make that happen. It's just conditions. Enough contemplation and thinking about it and discussions, and maybe there is conditions for there to be the panya that knows the moment is being thinking.
Could we talk about contemplation?
Contemplation? I think contemplation is like listening, or it's like there has to be conditions for contemplation. And you'll contemplate Dhamma sometimes, not because you choose to, but because it just arises that way. So you can read Dhamma, or you can listen to Dhamma, you can discuss Dhamma, or you can contemplate Dhamma. So contemplation is something that has to happen through a different condition than discussing or reading.
How do I know? Well, you don't know, and that's why discussions are very valuable.
The thing is, in the teachings, there's this Sutta Maya Pandya, Chinta Maya Pandya, and Bhavana Maya Pandya. Sutta Maya Pandya is the level of understanding got from hearing, like now when we talk, when we discuss this understanding.
Mm-hmm.
And Chinta Maya Pandya is like in daily life, what you heard about, there's something in the experience, like visible object.
I think that's what I was talking about before, about the bodily feeling or whatever.
But does that match with the suttas?
Sutta Maya Pandya. I have to do the reading to do that.
Right. The thing is, it has to match. The thing is, whatever you contemplate, it has to agree with the what's in the text.
Okay.
Right. Not something the Buddha taught about anatta, but you're thinking in terms of.
So it's not just self-contemplation turning back on yourself. It's too hard.
It has to be something that is based on suttas, the Sutta Maya Pandya. So you hear about visible object, then during the day something clicks and you contemplate the visible object without first hearing about it, but something in experience itself.
And the third
is Bhavana Maya Pandya, which is Satipatthana. that's a moment of actually knowing the visible object, the realities. So these three are related, they have to agree. So the level of reflection has to
be. So it's not one or the. Oh, yeah, okay.
The level of reflection has to be in line with the Dhamma, the teachings.
Thank you. That's useful. Thank you.
And in contemplation, it's the arising of certain jhanasikas or a number of jhanasikas that form up what we call contemplation.
It's thinking, basically. We can think in it.
It's what a jhana often refers to as wise reflection, isn't it? That we're talking about.
Wise thinking.
Wise thinking, yes. Thinking wisely. Thinking
wisely.
Reflecting on what we've heard.
Because there are only six buildings with one of them there. The five, Upa, and one building is now thinking. And which Tipa is my building? Which Tipa is my building?
Thinking. His mind
talk? Which?
Particular?
Which particular?
Oh, mind talk is Bhutavala? No, what is it?
Pavanaka, the last Pavanaka. The last Pavanaka is mind talk. Without it, mind talk process cannot begin. Like Chakrabhusata Rupa is the way for all. Seeing to arise, to experience this good object. So the Pavanka, the last Pavanka, Pavanku Pacheka is the mind of. Because the other Chitta after that is the Vipi process, not Pavanka.
Pavanka.
Pavanka is moment which there is no experiencing through six doorways at all. When one is fast asleep, no thinking, no dreaming, no seeing.
When one is unconscious,
why not continue?
If you were unconscious.
Okay.
The light continues, yes. So either sleeping or unconscious or wait. If you've been hit on the head anyway.
As much as we can say, you don't know whether while one is unconscious, that can be the mind process, you know. But when it's for one can know the process through six hours,
no process.
No process.
And no teachers.
And the object of the long teacher remains constant throughout that life of the object that the teacher is aware of. It.
Yes, at the partition.
So the Pavanka Chitta is the mind.
The last Pavanka.
The last
Pavanka Pacheta. The last Pavanka.
In the series of 17.
Pavanka moment.
Okay.
The series of Pavanka is the last one.
It's the last one. Pavanka
Pacheta. It's Pavanka Chitta all the time.
Yes. And the last one before the next sense door process.
Before the mind process.
So the Pavanka Chitta is the mind door, and the heart base is
nothing to do with experiencing object. It's just the birthplace of Chitta. So there are six ways. Six dvara and six vattu. Vattu here means the place where Chitta arises. And which rupa? That one is Khatiya vattu.
Mm-hmm.
That's why Mahinda is Manodvara and Manodvara Vajnacitta. It's not the mind, but it's the process to mind. If there's no Pavankuta Cheta, the last one, there will never be a process of mind.
Pavankuta Cheta is only a label, isn't it? It's the same as the other Bhavandas.
But how can you talk about that if when you use the last
one? No, but in terms of characteristics,
exactly
the same.
Exactly the same as Pavankuta, exactly the same as
when you say the Pavankuta Cheta is the last Pavanga, the last Pavanga,
it means that it cannot be, it cannot condition Pavanga anymore.
Oh, okay.
It can condition the first repeated.
Okay.
Which is the Avachana.
So, what's the significance of?
To know what is Maya. Because we talk about six doorways and we know about the five, which are rupas, and the mind door must be citta, and it has to be the Pavankuta Cheta.
I think when we talk about mind door, we refer to mind door processes.
But there must be mind door like sense door. And what citta thinks? Jitta things, but what jitta things?
Well, not the eye door across. Not seeing, and not the next process, but one following.
All jittas, which are not the one thing.
Oh, okay.
Thinking follows all jittas that are not the one.
When we talk about thinking, we talk about mind or process.
So the witti jitas are all jitas that are not
Pavanga.
Pavanga.
We can classify by two groups. One is not witti jitta, and the rest are witti jitas. And but these are the Pavanga jitas are not witti jitas.
Well, what about
they do not experience any object through any dharma. That's why this world or any world do not appear at all at moment of Bhavanga.
So if we witti jitta are all jitas that are not Bhavanga, what about seeing consciousness?
Is it Bhavanga?
No.
So it's witti jitta.
Except Bhavanga.
Got it.
Sorry, I
was thinking so
something.
So, what's the answer? Which
jitta
thinks?
Mm-hmm.
Which one?
Which jitta? Which jitta?
Oh. Which one?
No, the. Manodvara
vitti.
What is it? What's the answer?
Mm-hmm. Only that? More.
Okay. I can't think of anything more.
Kusala or Akusala thinks.
Oh, okay.
That's why there's no one who's thinking. Wholesome or unwholesome. A Kusala thing is different from Kusala things.
Different because one is Kusala and one is Akusala, or having some other.
Because usually after the first Vipijitta, then Nodwara Vajnacitta must be Kusalacitta and Akusalacitta, which perform the function, Chavana function, after Avajnacitta. So mind of process only Nodwara Vajnacitta and Chavanacitta, which are Kusala or Akusala, and then the Kalamana. Three Vipijittas. More than three moments, but only three Vipijittas, three kinds. That's why at this moment of thinking, because That's why the Arahata thinks, and those who are not Arahata think that they don't kusla and kusla. Arahata cannot think with a kusla or kusla tika. So need no kilesa.
Would you say that even kusla tika is still conditioned by the anusaya?
Yes, avijja condition, sankhara. Yes, sankhara, avijja, and of course, dhamma.
I'm trying to think, you know, the difference between the kriyachitas of the arahata and of the other Aryans. Is it the case that when the other Aryans have kusla, mahakusla, chitas, it's still...
So we can understand that it is not by heart, which conditions somehow, which are kusala and akusala. Sankara is jetana jetasika, both kusala jeta and akusala jeta. So one can understand one's thinking, whether it is kusala or akusala.
Not with avijja. Not when avijja is always arising.
Depending on that very moment when it takes akusala, that means the end. So now what Dita thinks? What Dita thinks then?
In reality.
In reality,
yeah. when the question was asked, things changed.
Yes, it did. It's my face too, eh?
Anything that's not Babanga.
It's not Babanga, yeah. No, because not all non-Babanga Jitas think. Some of them you have seeing consciousness and hearing. So.
So we come to understand better about thinking, because the sense of process, the first citta is under the vara, a different consciousness, it does not think.
No.
And chakkhu-vijñāna, it does not think at all, it sees. And somebody to not receiving consciousness does not think, it receives. And santirana citta does not think. And Bodhipanna does not think, and Chavana does experience that object which hasn't fallen away yet. It does not think.
Bhavanga Jita.
Pardon?
No, Bhavanga Jita.
We are not talking about Bhavanga, we are talking about one sensual process.
Okay.
The Ida process, starting from Chakku, the Vajrayana, the adverting consciousness, does not think. And the seeing does a thing, and the sampaditana which follows does a thing, and santirana does a thing, and vodhapana does a thing, and javana which is kusala and akusala does a thing, because it experiences the same object. Even it's kusala or akusala, it does a thing, because it cannot think while it has the object which has been fallen away.
So it's not till
Mano Tuvara Vachana.
Yeah.
The first Mano Tuvara Viti Jitta.
Okay.
And followed by Kusla or Akusla, having the same object as Mano Tuvara Vachana, because Mano Tuvara Vachana is that which thing. But not kusala and akusala yet, because it's just adverting to the object of manodhara, right? it thinks, but it's not Krishna or Amrita. But after that, the same object as the Vairagya thinks with Krishna, receives and thinks with Krishna or Amrita. So who knows what will be the next thinking? Never know.
So the first manasavar, vajana jita, thinks, and then it's followed.
But not kusala and akusala. This is the difference. Manotuvara was not thinks, kusala and akusala, which follows thinks, but manotuvara was not, is not kusala.
Right.
Not akusala. Just adverting.
Right.
Yeah, by conditions to such object. So it's kiriya. It can have kusala or akusala object. Or any object. But the jitta which follows the manotuvara has the same object as manotuvara, but it is kusala or akusala, which means.
Not
in
Javana. Right.
Javana. And Javana is a sandstone, that's a thing, but Javana is a thing, I don't understand. Beginning from manotuvara, I
think I can look.
So fast. And thinking is
now. Ajahn, so thinking accumulate chavana as the time. Kusala or kusala, yeah. So it's accumulate from then.
Kusala and kusala.
And that's before there's any thinking in terms of people and things.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing how much is going on in the chakra and the first was mind door and was sense doors. When you analyze it in that detail, we miss all of those processes.
Forget it.
Concentrate on now.
You're a great teacher. After all of that, you just never forget.
Well, that's the thing, we can understand it. That's the thing, because they're all gone.
Yeah.
It's the way to have less clinging and detachment from clinging.
Yeah. It's funny, so we've been discussing and talking and listening for all these 3 years about this present moment, so concentrate this present moment, but it seems that, you know,
where is it? But you see that even Pasa contacted the Sikha, it's Upanisya Bhajaya, natural supporting condition, because since it contact the Rupa, at the moment of seeing, the rest of them sense this contact there, so it conditions the rest.
That's how it's arising with all thoughts.
Because they all experience the same object through one domain. So it's the natural supporting for the other. Next morning.
How is this different from Pasabhi Ahara Pacha?
It is at moment of whenever it arises, it's bring about other realities, like Dikha, the Siddhas arising
at that moment.
At that moment. Because the Upanishad Bhajaya is the Atita condition they are present.
It seems that most other people, they are not interested in anatta, or they even think that anatta is for later. But I think without understanding anatta from the very beginning, has some idea about anatta, there's no way of just understanding Dhamma.
And if there's an understanding that this is Dhamma, no way to study, to understand. Not to understand, just name and number.
There's no interest to understand now. You want to do something.
Well, I think many people don't understand the idea, understand anatta. There's a conception that if they do something, then the self will transform to a no-self, rather than understanding the idea of self also as anatta.
The thing that they understand anatta, but they don't know what Dhamma is.
Mm-hmm.
So as anatta.
So without understanding what Dhamma is, you cannot really grasp the non-self. You turn it into a selfish version of non-self. It has to work like that.
Self-centered version.
It's like self-denial or something, but you are the one that's denying the self, isn't it?
It's the cheating leper.
Yes, so you can't escape through thinking.
And right understanding has to understand all five khandhas. Otherwise, the wrong view and doubt is left. For example, now, it's samya. The understanding samya as just that which remembers what is wrong. So there's the end of something permanent. But when there's awareness and understanding, when thinking arises, one can understand that without samya, how can there be such thinking? So it's there, and it supports the understanding of anatta too. To understand samya as just a reality, no one. It arises with each moment. At this moment, who can stop samya to arise?
And another thing, we need to listen very carefully to teachings, and we know to distinguish between thinking and reality. Thinking, having pariyatti understanding, intellectual understanding, and direct understanding. And so we know what it is worth. But people who don't, who just go straight to meditation, they end up thinking and believing that that is experience, that's direct experience. They've not seen the difference between thinking and just and their experience.
No answer for anything at all because they don't understand.
That's right, it must be said they don't have the understanding to know that there is a difference.
But those who know.
But they'd be accused, because accusing us of thinking but not practicing. Thinking but not practicing.
I find it a
long letter to somebody just to be. I don't understand you. I don't want to read your letters anymore.
That's what you say.
A woman, Malaysian.
Why don't they let us go freely to do whatever we like?
They say, she said, it's not that. They think they want, they're right and we're wrong. So even though she says so many times, do whatever you want, she'll say, like, you can be a good Abhidhamika.
Abhidhamika. So, like a follower of the Abhidhamma, yes, sort of practitioner.
I wrote, she was talking about her feelings, that she can note feelings, about feeling arising and falling and changing. I said, that's really thinking. How dare you? How do you know? Have you ever experienced this? Don't ever write to me.
If we ask about samadhi, sati, can she answer?
I wrote a lot, everything I wrote in those two posts, and she didn't want to answer anything.
What would you ask her about such?
Because you see that people mistake something for sati because they have heard this term, sati. So they dream for having sati. So they would like to take anything for sati, but actually it's not right understanding of sati at all. As long as she cannot understand what samasati is.
So you would ask her to describe what she thinks samasati is.
Mm-hmm. And for those who believe that someone has supernatural power and things like that, if that person is asked about samasati, no answer.
It goes one ear and goes out the other ear.
And what the answer is only concentration. They take concentration for something. They take thinking for something.
That's what the topic started with. She believed in Sila leading to Samadhi, Samadhi leading to Panya.
Oh.
I said that's what all meditators think. All meditators think she should
have to end. That was a good way to start out.
No, she read another post of mine which she responded to, in which I said, I just say it as I see it, right? So I thought she, you know, she knows that I say it this way. Anyway, she thought she is a student of Mahasi, said, how could they be wrong, you know? That's a very heavy statement, you're making a big statement. So I gave a very good description of what is Siddha, what is Samadhi, and what is Panya. No reply. Just, I don't want to talk to you.
It means that she doesn't want to continue because there is no reply.
She doesn't understand what he's getting at.
She said, I'm dumb. But still she says that I wasn't taught like you were saying. And then she accuses me of being wrong about this. And then she,
okay, we can ask for her explanation. Please tell me how Sila will lead to Panya.
She said in the previous letter, she said she strongly believes in this.
Does believe?
Yes.
It's not enough. We'd like to understand.
And I asked her in one of the places, what is the basis of your belief? And I thought she would answer. She didn't.
There's a lot of Christians who have very good zeal and it doesn't mean to Panya.
And what does Panya know?
I told her, I explained that Samadhi, because some say that Samadhi of Jhana, I said, Jhana arises by its own conditions. When Vipassana has different conditions, how can the concentration of that, it does not know applies, right? That is, how can...
But after her answers, we will listen to her explanation. But please answer.
Take a deep breath.
She's
not going to answer. She answered, but just said that don't bother to reply to my post.
Actually, Ludovic was talking about diplomacy, and he was talking about personal diplomacy and how sometimes when you get to that stalemate, to take the step towards the other is always a good idea. Not to wait for them to take the step towards you, but to take the step.
Under other situations, I'll do that. But not in discussions, dumber discussions.
Nobody can take on wrong view.
But I was thinking when you were saying that sati and thinking, but do what, I mean, we hear Ajahn teaching, but do what, we not do that too? Get sati and thinking confused?
We do, but that's one reason I don't even try to do anything to have sati, because that's paving the way for fooling myself, you know.
I think the diplomatic
thing that Ludwig was pointing out is a little bit like what Ajahn was saying. It's about quick asking her a question rather than putting forward a point of view.
That can be
telling her
she's
in error, perhaps.
Mm. That can be the
so
mistake.
That she has to come up with an answer.
Mm. Because if you stop talking, then nothing can happen.
Well, Abhidhamma does have things in it that are questionable. You can't prove a lot of Abhidhamma. So if you're talking to someone who maybe doesn't believe in Abhidhamma, it's very hard to put a point to
you can't prove anything to anybody.
No, you can prove the most basic fundamental things of Dhamma, which is also in Abhidhamma. But some of the things we've just talked about in today are not possible to know. We don't know them.
Yes. Like Govanga Chitra and
we don't know those things. We don't know the different chittas that arise and fall away. But the reason we study it is because we understand that it clarifies the no self. Even though we can't prove that it does exist that way.
But do you think anyone of us trying to discuss with other people about Bhavanga Pacheta, nobody talks about it.
No, but I wouldn't talk to those people about things that they are going to reject. I would talk about the things that they can't reject. And there's a lot in Abhidhamma that doesn't have to be rejected. It won't be rejected. I mean, just the arising and falling away of realities. I mean, you can talk about those.
That's what basically
things.
Everyone talks about. No, but still it's rejected.
Well, it is rejected, of course. But we can talk about the simplistic things of seeing, smelling, tasting, touching.
I think that if we talk about reality, I don't know whether she studies Abhidhamma or not. But if she asks whether one knows or whether you know about Bhavanga, you can say that I don't mind about the term, but there are moments where one is fast asleep. Mm-hmm. Everyone knows that at that moment there is no seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, even no blinking, dreaming at all. No matter what you call, it's real. Mm-hmm. And if I use the term Bhavanga, is it all right? Something like that. Mm-hmm. Because it's so daily.
Ajahn, so when you're sleeping, when you're dreaming, that's not the one. That's
no,
thinking.
Dreaming is thinking.
Dreaming is thinking. That's something that I was mm-hmm. very confused about. That mm-hmm. mention.
So the definition is that the moment when there's no experiencing through all knowledge.
Okay. Yeah.
The dreaming is supposed to be very rapid, and it's only just thinking, and it's usually just at the before we wake up. It's not in when we're sound asleep.
Then there can be one of the five Dhammas experience in a dream, fortunately. But Dhamma is Dhamma, and no Dhamma is no Dhamma.
What were you saying, Vishnu? What?
Usually it's either. I mean, for me, I mean, most of dreaming is more visual than smell or touch. It's visual. It's real. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
That's
like now, see, this word object has gone, and this is what we think we see.
Can a person dream about something that happened in the previous life?
We don't have to say whether it's glance of previous or what. This word object, thinking about what one takes out of this word object as people in dreams.
Right.
On the trip I was thinking about the Buddhist mother having the dream. I was remembering that we talked about the one particular in various sessions. I thought, oh, what is it? I didn't get that clear, so I'm very glad you clarified that.
Yeah, but what's the basis of your saying that dreams
happened just before we...
Well, that's the way it is. They can test it with mind activity, but usually it's very rapid eye movement. And it happens just before you wake up. And it can seem to be a very long dream, but actually it's a very short. It's very short and very quick.
I can understand that dreams, soon after dream, you can wake up, but that can be in the middle of the night.
You're still waking up.
So it's not a question of waking up, it's a question of dream conditions, waking up.
No, not necessarily. It might be that way, but it just so happens that it happens just before waking up. And it seems like the dream might go on for a long time, but actually it's very short.
Yeah, if you doubt about that, what about this morning? See and hear the basic condition there? Mm-hmm.
So Sanya in some ways reveals in dreaming the...
But no one knows it.
No one knows, but the precision of it is so much that...
By understanding this, with right understanding, there will be less clinging to Sanya.
Less clinging to Sanya?
Yeah, because it arises and it forms a function, not anyone at all. Just a condition for thinking or for experiencing an object.
I can imagine that happening with Alzheimer's, I felt. There was less pain.
As long as the defilements are there.
My understanding was that the pain condition less clinging to Sanyana, which marks or remains whatever
appears.
I can recall a dream at home where I actually can't remember the circumstances, but in the dream there was a woman who was very upset, maybe someone had died and she was crying. And I recall saying something to her like, there is no self to be upset.
This was a Dharma dream.
And then when I woke up and I was thinking about the dream, I found that it'd be thinking around what's the question that came up was what suffers when we talk about dukkha being like. So in the dream it was like, you know, saying something, but then later it was a condition for a question. What is it that suffers?
In the dream?
No, this is after. Afterwards, the dream.
And because I have the answer.
No, I don't think so.
A reality. There must be a reality, whether it's suffer or thinking or whatever it is.
So, well, that's not true when I say I'm not sure. The idea of, yes, a reality, but... It seems that suffering must be a concept. Is that right?
No reality. Or we call that reality.
Suffering seems to be more than one reality. Like if we think of suffering,
what kind of feeling is that when there is suffering?
Unpleasant.
Unpleasant.
No.
So it's kind of feeling.
Mental or bodily feeling can be.
Through body is body feeling.
Okay, so just at the...
Just a reality.
Just mental.
A dumb reality.
I mean, if I hit my thumb with a nail or with a hammer, this pain, and this dose of, and this agitation, this getting up to go to the doctor, you look at the whole thing, you call that suffering. Right? The pain itself is suffering. The dose itself is suffering.
Well, going back to the dream, in the dream it was like about being upset, the woman was upset about somebody dying. So it was dosa, not
dream
self.
It's just
not
one chitta after another.
Yes.
Is that woman real?
only as real as, say, thinking about yourself.
It's like you and her with many people here, but in that dream, only you and her. See? But actually, there's no one. Only your own thought about one or two or this or that person.
On waking, there's knowing that it is a dream.
There's thinking that it was a dream.
Mm.
So,
yes,
there's thinking that there's, like,
some
knowing, because the knowing would know that even now it's
true. Maybe some sense of that. Some sense, but not strong.
If you knew what is thinking, you know that none of thinking is arising. Not only call that thinking and not this.
That's right. Mm.
It's all the same.
Well,
thinking now, to some extent, is conditioned by visual object and hearing now and sound. Thinking in a dream is conditioned by
memory.
Accumulations, memory. Can we? Could be. I mean, who knows? But it could be a sound outside. It could be a movement in the bed.
Could be temperature. Have a fever. I mean, many things.
Could be the meteorite that just landed in the front lawn.
The thing that May just mentioned there was, you know, when you come out of a dream and you're very aware that was a dream, that, and there's a vast difference between dreaming and being awake. Can one draw some parallel between if you experience our reality as it really is, and what we normally have, is that vast a difference?
When there is no right understanding, it seems like so many things, like dreaming and thinking. But when there is awareness, no difference between the nama, which experience an object through one of six elements. There can be just wake up with understanding. The difference between waking up and thinking.
Peter, what are you saying? Are you saying that dreams maybe...
No, I was trying to draw just a parallel between when we wake up from a dream and we're aware that that's a
dream.
And this sort of, in our normal samsara, moha-ridden...
Well, we have daydreams sometimes, right?
If we had a moment of banya arising and we recognized sound as sound, that the normal... the confused way we're seeing things would seem as dramatically different to the two different.
Yeah, but the thing is that
it's a parallel.
Even children know the difference between that dream and waking up. So it's not nothing profound and not so great difference. It's just in the thinking itself that, as I'm saying, that's thinking. That it was a dream and now it is not. So
and we call it a dream.
It's still in the thinking and it's nothing. It's just more thinking, continuing.
Yeah.
Right. But whereas what you're trying to compare to, like awakening. That's conditioned by Pandya, and I think that's totally different.
Yes.
And then we have our daydreams, which we can also reflect on. I think I was just daydreaming. But we don't think of it as being thinking, we think of it as being a daydream.
So what is daydream?
It's just fantasizing on something in some way. It's no different than a dream, actually.
It's the moment of experiencing object through mind down.
Right. It's thinking.
That's not follow the sense.
Right. That's just thinking.
It is, and often occurs when you want to shut down one of the sense doors.
This is where the, when you're under the influence of such drugs, it's not
So there's time when we are sitting here, we can be like a dream. Right here.
The mind
lost in those
things.
But we have a sense of falling, the sense though, you know, falling without falling any doubt. Because thinking or dead.
Like I could think of America sometimes, or what I used to do when I lived in America, and there's no particular thing that conditions that.
Well, you don't know when it started.
No. But it. I think that those sort of things can arise.
Well, we're sitting here talking Dhamma, and then just like that, you can think of something else. Think about the money in the bank, or thinking about something.
Yeah, probably.
We don't have money in the bank. I think we also have thoughts of Dhamma sometimes without any realization of where it comes from. There are conditions, there's certainly conditions, but the conditions are not always necessarily a sight or a sound that does it. It can be just a condition there for that thought to arise.
Okay. I understand that we don't know conditions, but what is the likelihood of a thought coming out of the blue from nowhere?
Out of the blue?
Yes.
Oh, the blue. It's coming from somewhere. Somewhere.
Out of the blue. What about conditionality?
Blue or reality?
You can daydream on an overcast day.
You see that you think that you don't know any conditions, right? At this moment that is seeing this world object, you know some conditions like Aramana Pajaya, but we don't have to call it. And it depends on the accumulation, how many conditions you can understand right then, without saying anything at all. Like the succession of the arising and falling away of citta, you know that there's no gap, no lack of citta at all. So you understand the antarapajaya, but you don't have to call it. I know anantarapajaya.
Or maybe so to speak.
Yeah.
I would like to introduce you to
her. And you see that when reality appears, you don't have time to think about name at all. Okay. Like seeing now, you don't have to call it seeing.
Right. It's already appearing.
Yeah. That was the knowing, not knowing.
And you know that without the eye base, there can never be seeing or visible object appearing. This is even through intellectual understanding. But when is the direct understanding, it's never changed at all. But the understanding is so sharp that it can see. In Tipitaka, it uses the term rob is all around. It means that when a reality appears through mind or with bright understanding, it's like what we are saying, that citta arises and it experiences only one object at a time. See, this is what we say, but at the moment, exactly. So each word is exactly what we have heard, but it's not the direct experience until Panjabhika. And at that moment, why the Tipitaka use the term rūrāp, to know around or thoroughly or completely, because there is nothing at that moment at all. Now, even we say, at moment of seeing, there cannot be hearing, there cannot be sound, but it's not like that. But when it appears to mind or nothing, no world at all, no you, nothing, just the reality which is experiencing that particular object, one at a time, no doubt about how mind or experience one object, and you don't have to think about it at all, because it is the direct experience. Each word is that what Buddha said. But it depends on understanding. No doubt, because there's no other object one at a time. But even so, when Panya is not developed to the degree that it can penetrate the arising and falling away, because it's only the first jhana. It cannot be the higher one. So you know exactly what it is. You will not mistake one for the other at all. That's why there is a right understanding that develop more. And because the vipassana jhana doesn't last long at all. As reality arises and falls away so fast, it's like this moment. Otherwise, how can Sariputta experience the Four Noble Truths just after the short words that Asaji taught him or spoke to him? No selection. Because you see that each reality is different from the previous ones. Never the same, because that one which has fallen away never come back. So the accumulation of Kusala Kamma, Akusala Kamma, or the condition for the arising of Rupa, different all the time from one moment to another moment. That's why the world has to go on like this. Never come back. Impossible. So no expectation which one is the object of vipassana jhana. If someone is waiting, sitting, trying, no understanding. Because at that moment there is no understanding of anything, and there is attachment to the result, what one is expecting or doing or trying to do.
See the wood for the trees. If you have expectation of
Then how can panya arise from expectation? No anatta. It can happen anywhere, anytime. Just develop the understanding. Only then. Like Sariputta, he developed understanding for eons, 100,000. Mm-hmm. And he became enlightened as a Sotapanna after Asaji's words, and after that 2 weeks he became Arahata. So don't expect anything because it hinders, just develop understanding.
So what's the significance really about Sariputta having heard those 2 lines and becoming a Sotapanna? There seem to be others who became Arahat, like Bhaiya. And why is that seen as showing that Sariputta has Sotapanna? That he heard 2 lines and he became
Arahat? Bhaiya can put that half Hinapanya than Sariputta.
And how do we know that?
Because it's not the form of something, by accumulation.
No, but you're bringing in this point about Sariputta hearing just 2 stanzas.
Do you think that Panya know much more than Sariputta?
No, I don't know. I don't think so. But what's the significance in that? Because Sariputta became only as Sotapanna and not.
But after that 15 days.
But others became Arahata very fast.
Mm-hmm. By conditions, by parami, to be foremost in that experience. What about you know much more, but you know just a little bit later?
Yes, I can understand that.
Yeah. Like Kontanya, he accumulated parami to be the first Savaka. Not Sariputta, see?
That's parami.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering if others heard the same phrase as Sariputra. It might not have worked.
Possible. Depending on conditions. Like when Buddha taught, so many people there, but only few became enlightened. Not all of them. Each jitta is different, each moment. And how many jitta in the universe, in hell, and everything.